He's an authority of everything. And another word for authority, people don't like it too much, is he's in control of everything. Authority is the form of control. People don't like that word because they feel like they don't want to be controlled. Well, that's a control that you will want to be controlled, but then that's a negative side of control. I hope you catch what I'm saying. Negative side of control is when you're not allowed to follow the Holy Ghost, and somebody just dominating you, and just taking total control of your thinking process. You can't think for yourself. No. We're talking about the control when God leaves you by His Spirit in control. You see, and that's the kind of control I want. God governing me by His Spirit, controlling me. When my authority, whoever I'm submitted to, govern me and by the control of the Spirit. You see? Now, if you got somebody just trying to control you fleshly-wise, then that's another category altogether. That's control. You don't want nothing to do with it. That's manipulation. You see? That's a form of control. But in the world system, you're going to find some of that manipulation. You're going to find control that offends God. And we're going to find out that the only time you shouldn't submit, when you're getting caught under that control, that manipulation. Are you hearing me? So let's look at this. And you got to be careful when you're dealing with the world system of government. You got to be wise. Know when to submit and know when not to submit. You got to know that when you got to go against one of God's commandments to submit to world's authority, then that's where I draw the line at. I said, I can't submit to this. And sometimes you're going to find yourself in situations where you can't submit. Sometimes some jobs want you to do things where you can't submit because they don't do everything right in the system. Especially in the political realm, you got to be careful in that political realm because if you don't, you find yourself fighting against God in some of those things they want you to do. So you got to draw the line. And I got a good friend of mine. He's a minister in politics. I say, heavy hang over your head. I said, because you're gonna be challenged to do some things that might not be right in the sight of God, and you better keep your spiritual eyes open. And it takes a lot of maturity to be able to do that. What? Amen. To be in government, this in the world system of government, and still serve and obey God without violating God's principle.
Yes.
You better know God told you to do that. You better do it more than just for the money. You better do it because God set your heart for it.
Right.
Amen. Look what it said in that first verse. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, higher authority. For there's no, we're going to replace that word power for authority. For there's no, because that's what this word means. For there's no authority but what? But of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. So this scripture is saying that there's no power, no authority in this earth realm that God has not ordained. But this system, this world system of government was set up by God. They're only observing the law God has already established. But when men put his hands on things, they taint it. You understand the word taint? T-A-I-N-T. They taint it because they turn the law to benefit them. The scribes and Pharisees did it. Jesus had to deal with them. How to take the law and make it fit them to satisfy them. Jesus fussed at them in the fifth chapter of Matthew. He dug them up. He called them serpents and vipers. He said, you ain't right. You're doing all kinds of things that ain't right. But the law really was made spirit when Jesus came. Romans 8 and 1. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it made us free from the law of sin that was the sin and death. All right? That law was to show what sin was. That law was to point you to wrongdoing so you can repent and get right. That law was a schoolmaster. It never was intended to make a man live right.
Right.
It had no power. But when the Holy Ghost came, he gave us the right intentions and the right leadership and the right understanding and the right wisdom to be able to take God's law and hit the law of God into our heart. So we know by the Spirit when we've got out of God's law. Something called conviction. Every Christian should walk in conviction. That's the power of the Holy Ghost letting you know, guiding you, leading you, and telling you how to walk, telling you how to talk. You can say one wrong word to your wife, and you know it. You know it because there's something going to scratch on it. That wasn't right. Get it right. Get it right. All right. So that the world system of government that you got to submit to. Number one says, be subject to every ordinance of man. This is 1 Peter. I like this part. It says, for the Lord's sake. And I look at that scripture. I'm going to tell you where it's at. 1 Peter 2 and 13. It goes along with Romans 13 and 1 and 2. It says, I'm going to read it again. It says, be subject to every ordinance of who? Of man. Now, you see what God did here to the Apostle Peter? He said, be subject or be submitted to every, did he say that right?
Yes, sir.
To every, my goodness, every ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake. Now we're going to look at that a little bit closer, what it means for the Lord's sake. Now if you think about it, you know, you do certain things for your own sake, you know, but it's say for the Lord's sake. Because the Lord got a reason, that's what he's saying. There's a reason the Lord wants you to do this. Because you're going to benefit yourself in him. See, God always thinks about the kingdom. The kingdom, the progress of the kingdom is always on God's mind. Progression. Progressive. Moving, the kingdom moving to higher heights. Always on God's mind. And here what he's saying here is that you do that for the Lord's sake. Why? I'm going to keep reading and you're going to let me know. Do it for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or unto governors. What that next? Y'all got a scripture?
Amen.
To my finished reading.
As unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well.
Okay. Now, what the scripture is saying is that when you do what's right, I don't know if you know, but the world system, when it comes to the church, it watches the church. It won't see if the church is going to do what's right or do what's wrong. And so when you do what's right, right in the midst of this corrupted system, it's going to make Jesus look good. And it's going to be a witness to Jesus. And it's going to make you look good. When I say look good, I'm talking about honor God. Not nothing selfish looking or for pride's sake. I need to read the scripture again out of my Bible. These things are right here. Two and 13, right? I need to read this again. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, even those sent, government have delegation. That's what we're talking about. Even those sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, they still got to be subjected to. That's like Romans 13. And for the praise of them that do well. Now look at that 15th verse. For so is the will of God. In other words, this is God's intent. This is God's intent. What God intend? That with well doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You see it? Because men are looking, the world is really a fault finding system. And really, they really want to come against the kingdom of God. And really, they're trying to stop the kingdom of God. So God, the source of all authority in the universe. You hear that? The source of all authority in the universe. Now, since all government authorities are instituted by him, then all authorities are delegated by him and represent his authority. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
God himself has established this system of authority in order to manifest himself. God always in the business of manifesting himself. Wherever people encounter authority, they meet God. Why? Because God is authority. It is possible for men to come to know God through his presence, but even without his presence, they can still know him through his authority. In the Garden of Eden, men knew God through his presence or during his absence by remembering his commandment or his covenant. Today, though men seldom encounter God's direct authority in this world, this, of course, does not apply to those in the church who live constantly in the Spirit, for they often see God's face. The place today where he manifests himself the most is in his commandment. Only those who are foolish, like the foolish tenants in the parable of Mark 12, have to have the personal presence of the owner of the vineyard in order to obey. For in the story, are not the servants and his son sent ahead of him as his representative? Those who are set up by God ought to exercise authority for him. Now let's look at that story in Mark 12, because I want to pull out a couple of things in it and see the world system as we read. See this government, this governing system, how they think. Mm-hmm. 12:1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set in hedge about it and dig a place for the wine fat, and built a tower and laid it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. This is the authority. This is the one that's in authority. And he sent out people to as a delegation for him. Mm-hmm. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant. And at him, they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully and handled. Now, these two servants so far that he sent, they were delegations of authority of the owner of the vineyard, and they should have been respected as just as well as the owner.
Yes.
But this world system mm-hmm. is perverted.
Yes, that's right.
And they don't see authority. And the only way they obey mm-hmm. is by direct authority. Mm-hmm. And the church should not have that mindset. What do you mean? When you come to spiritual authority versus world system government of authority, there's a higher standard, a higher level of submission, because the church should submit to any delegated authority as though they submitted to God himself. From the he that least in the kingdom of God is the greatest, Jesus said. In other words, there shouldn't be any less obedience to the servants of God delegated than that of the one that God has sent as the authority. But it's hard to see that. It's hard to recognize that because everybody doesn't understand the subject of authority, and everybody wants to be an authority. So therefore, they don't want to totally submit themselves, because it takes a spirit of humility to submit to someone, especially when you've been there for 30 years, and then send this peon, they call peon, somebody that has no time in, and all of a sudden he becomes your authority. We recognize that on the job. They used to promote from within the ranks, people that serve time with experience. And then they start sending college students in with these degrees in management, and now they don't know anything. They got to ask you everything. Now I got to submit to you. I had trouble with that until the Lord began to show me these lessons, and I began to submit to whoever is my authority. But I had trouble with it. I had to really die a little bit. I had to go to the scriptures. Say, Lord, I'm not supposed to submit to this. These people here have my age, and then I got to submit to them to try to talk to you any kind of way, and they don't know anything. Yeah. And then I'm not supposed to submit to that. The Lord said, yep, you sure do. So I had to back up, pull toward the verse, and change my heart attitude. And I had to repent to the Lord. And so I couldn't repent to them. They wouldn't understand. But I just changed my way of doing things. I changed my behavior. So I recognize that God's authority runs all the way across the board. Now, his authority is represented on my job now. My supervisor, unsaved and cussing and smoking and drinking, I had to submit to all of that. Didn't understand it, but I had to do it anyway. And so sometimes we fall short and don't understand that we're disobeying God when we disobey these authorities. And so we don't always put two and two together. What do you mean put two and two together? We don't always put it in the same basket. You know, we don't put equals, it don't add up sometimes in the natural. And then until you recognize God is in that. And so now I got to do 1 Peter 2 and 13 for the Lord's sake. Now you understand that scripture? I got to do it for the Lord's sake. Yeah. Just to put the silence these evildoers. Yeah. Because I find that they were scheming on me and doing everything trying to you know what I'm talking about. I ain't got to say all that. But I understood 1 Peter 13.
Yes, sir.
I did it not for their sake, because they don't understand that. I did it for the Lord's sake. For the gospel's sake. That I don't put the kingdom of God to shame. I don't put a stain on the name of Jesus. You call yourself a Christian, and look what you're doing. No, I want to keep a witness open. I want to be able to still testify right in the midst of their wrongdoing to me. Right in the midst of their scheming and trying to see, because the world knows when you got the Spirit of God in you, and they don't want you around them because you show them up. If you do it right, you show them up. Unless you like the old lizard. You know the old lizard? You turn on something green, they turn green. You get on something brown, and they turn brown. What, a chameleon? You don't want to be one of them on the job. No, you got to stand tall. Now, look, when I was working at the chemical plant, I used to work in the mechanic department, and we work overtime. We had to fill out these time cards. And when you fill the time card, you got to be honest. Because it's easy to cheat.
Right.
Easy to lie.
Right.
You know, and so these guys didn't want me around, because instead of putting 4 hours, and I didn't work four, I put two. Right. So they all, you know, if I worked two, I put two. Mm-hmm. I didn't fudge on my time.
Right.
And so they would come around me, because they know if they put four and I put two, it ain't going to look good.
Yeah.
And so they come around me, what you putting? After how long we work? What do you mean, what you putting? I said, I'm putting what I work. You put what you want. I put what I want. They didn't like me for that. But you know who I did it for? Not for their sake. Not to act so spiritual. I did it for the Lord's sake. I did it for the Lord's sake. Do what is right, the scriptures say. And you have praise of the same. And then if you look back, people say, you know, it'll bring something to them. It'll bring conviction on them. Especially those weak Christians that won't look like chameleon. You'll show the weak Christian up, I'm telling you. They're the one that really get mad with you. The weak Christian. Because they won't hang with, they go after that money, you know. 2 hours. I said, let 2 hours take me to hell. Tell God, what 2 hours going to do to me and I'm going to hell buying 2 hours? So I did what was right. But I was hated for it. Blessed are thou when you're hated for righteousness' sake. Sometimes you get in positions like that. Don't falter. Don't yield to that trick of the devil. Do what is right in the sight of God and men. God's going to give you your blessing. God's going to reward you. And guess what? God's going to reward you openly, too. You act the truth. So this world system of government, it's not really coming against you. It's coming against God in you. And we'll bring the body of Christ to a shame. And I made my mind up that I wasn't going to bring the body of Christ to a shame. I was going to be what God called me to be. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to do what God said. In love. Amen. Everybody understand this scripture a little bit more? Because I'm trying to bring it home to us so we can understand how this system and how these people shamefully handle you. See this scripture said? And they handle them shamefully. That's what this world want to do. It won't handle you shamefully. You see it? Then that fifth verse, and again, he sent another, and him they killed. And many others, beating some and killing some. And that sixth verse said, having yet therefore one son, he thought he was going, his son was going to be a better representative because he sent his servant the son. And he really was talking about Jesus, you know. That's the one they killed. He was talking about the Son of God. In the parable, he was letting him know, but this parable also teaches us but other things. You see it? His well-beloved, his only well-beloved, that's the beloved Son of God right here. Absolutely. He sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. Jesus was talking about himself. He didn't reverence the Son of God. No. The Bible said, he said they didn't even recognize him as the Son of God. Just in one scripture said, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't recognize him. And they didn't recognize him, meaning they didn't honor him. If they didn't honor him, that means they didn't submit to him. Because they couldn't see the God in him. They couldn't see the God. See, you can't see the God in Jesus through you if they don't recognize him. Now, but those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard to others. That's when the master comes. And he was really talking about the religious folks at that time. He's going to give the vineyard to the Gentiles. If you understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. But this scripture had more than one. I'm taking another side of it, talking about how you handle the world system, or handle you when they want direct. They want to deal with direct authority. You've messed up like that yourself. I want to speak to your boss. You know, that's the chain of command. You won't go through the chain of command. I won't go to the top, to your boss. And they're just doing what they're supposed to do. See you at all. You got to go through the chain of command like you're supposed to. I won't talk to you. I won't talk to somebody that can help me. Well, that's a violation right there. We don't like to hear the truth. But the truth is the truth. I don't care how you come out. Yes, indeed. Do what is right. You should have prayed of the same. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Now, since all governing authorities are ordained and instituted by God, they are meant to be obeyed. whether we like it or not, whether we feel like it or not, they are all meant to be obeyed until when? Until they cross the covenant, until they come across God's ordinance, until they break one of God's divine laws that the Holy Ghost won't let you cross. So, nope, I can't do this. Nope, I can't sin against my God.
That's right.
Yep. My supervisor asked me one time when I was at the chemical plant to do something that I couldn't do, and I told him I couldn't do it, but he respected me for it because he was supposed to be a God-fearing man, but he so fooled me. But just by me not doing it, made him take a second look at himself. He said, "Ron, I can't make you do that." I said, "Thank you, sir, for understanding, but I can't do that. We dishonoring my God." And so I always put God first. And I left a witness. I left a witness at that plant because they knew I always put God first. I'm going to read that one more time. Since all governing authorities are ordained and instituted by God, they are meant to be obeyed. If we would indeed learn how to obey God, we would then have no trouble recognize on whom God's authority rests. And most people don't know who God's authority rests because they don't regularly obey God. They're not accustomed to obeying God. When you obey God, you obey His word, you obey His spirit, you obey his delegates, you obey your pastor, you obey your apostle, you obey your husband. You understand what I'm saying? All this authority, when you learn how to obey, you ain't got no trouble recognizing God's authority in them.
All right.
When you get accustomed to obeying.
Yes.
You know? You got to get accustomed to obeying. If we know only God's direct authority, we may possibly violate more than half of His authority. My goodness, that's a strong statement. I'm going to say it one more time. If we know only God's direct authority. Now, what is God's direct authority? I'm glad y'all asked that. God's direct authority is when you got to hear God for yourself. The if you read the scriptures anytime, they told Moses they didn't want to hear you. Don't want to hear you, Moses. You know, they don't want to hear from God Himself. And didn't know Moses was representing God. When they got through, they said, we're going to hear you, Moses. Because you really don't want to deal with God directly. You really rather deal with His delegate. You see? Because God is a consuming fire. Man, God is full of grace and mercy. But God still is a consuming fire. God's a God of judgment also. And you really don't want to deal with God. My mom used to say all the time, and we didn't want to listen. You know, she was old school. She said, "I'm going to put y'all in the hand of the Lord." I said, "Oh, mom, don't do that. Keep me in your hands. I'll listen to you." Upon how many lines can we identify the authority of God? You see, you need to take an inventory of yourself. Look around your church. Do you obey the usher when they tell you, can you move down a little bit? Or are you going to fuss because that's your favorite seat? Get your authority. When they tell you to do something, or when that parking lot attendant said, "No, don't park. You can't park in your favorite spot today. We need you to park over." And you get mad and you park there anyway. Hey, listen, I've been parking there for 17 years. And you're going to tell them what to tell your authority. But poor people don't recognize it because it's not direct authority. It's not a pastor. You see, it's not. You see, and you got to see authority everywhere. You see it? You know, the system, pastor or teaching. And then you don't want to listen to him because that's not a pastor. You see it? And so it's everywhere. And we just got to recognize it. We got to recognize it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, we must be subject to delegate authority as well as to God's direct authority. For there is no authority except from God. You see? All authority come from God, and we have to understand that. As to earthly authority, Paul not only exalts positively towards subjection, but also warns negative against resistance. Remember that in Romans 13. He who resists the authority, resists God's own command, or resists the ordinance of God, and who rejects God's delegated authority, rejects God's own authority. Now that's saying a lot. Doing it, and listen to this part, this is good right here, because we come into understanding the whole beginning of this, why God did what he did. It's through his divine wisdom he did what he did when he orchestrated this authority. During Adam's time, God gave men dominion over the whole earth. Is that right? Mm-hmm. What they were to govern, however, were the living creatures. God had the ability to name them. He put a certain fear in these creatures. So your authority will persuade them, and fear will come in them, and they'll be obedient. Even to this day. You know, animals are afraid of us. But just there's a certain fear in them. If he don't feel threatened, he'll turn and go the other way. As bad as a lion is. Unless you're hungry. That's a different story. You become his prey. But God put that fear. But after the flood, notice what happened here now. We're talking about two different dispensations now. Adam, they became evil, and God raised up Noah, and now the flood come, and now God got a whole new generation of people. He wiped them all off the face of the earth except Noah, his eight, with Noah. That's right. But now watch this now. After the flood, God handed the power of governing man, fellow man, to Noah. See, that's a big jump. Now God said, now Noah, you're going to be permitted. Men's going to govern men now. Before God was governing men through his presence, you see. So now, men governing men. Stating that whosoever shedded man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That we were talking about, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Yes.
At Genesis 9:6. From then on, the authority of governing man was invested in men. It wasn't always in man's hand. Ever since then, there has been human government under which men are placed. I'm trying to show you the origin of it so we can know how this thing was handed down. God did it. God did it on purpose. After having led his people out of Egypt into the wilderness, God gave them the Ten Commandments and many ordinances. God knew that men couldn't rule themselves without his intervention. So God permitted Moses to go up on the mountain, and he gave him the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
These were laws that still govern us today.
Yes.
In the spirit. These laws were made spirit. All right? So they govern us today. Am I right?
Yes,
among these was one which declared, thou shalt not revile God, nor curse the ruler of thy people, at Exodus 22:28. This proved that God had put them under rulers. God placed men under rulers, and we should not revile against those rulers. And so now, if you do revile, God said, I got a law to let you know that you have reviled. The law was only to point out that you have sinned or you have error against his word. In Moses' time, the Israelites who resisted authority were actually resisting God. Can you see that? It has anything changed? No. God still say the same thing. Whosoever resisted my authority actually resists me also. Authority, although the rulers of the nation did not believe in God and their countries were under dominion of Satan, the principle of authority remained unchanged. Just as Israel was God's kingdom and King David was chosen by God, so the Persian emperor was likewise said to have been set up by God. Even the country that served the idols, even they were still looked unto God as authorities. Wow. Even they served a foreign God. See, God got this thing set up, he always had it set up. When our Lord was on earth, he was subject to the governing authorities as well as to the authority of the high priest. He paid taxes and taught men to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Matthew 22:21. Can you see that? I'm trying to show you the whole spirit of this world system of government, that we still got to submit to it, even though it's not spiritual. But it's still set up by God. It rules in law. When you go out on 22, you got to subject yourself to that red light. Yeah. See, that's the ordinance of God, even though men ordained it. But God said you got to submit to it. If you just run red light, my God, you are disobedient. I don't know what else to say. You're just honoring God when you run the red light. We never put that together with God. How many of you ever put a red light with God? No. You know, most people ain't put a policeman with God. Most people don't put the speed limit with God. Speed limit says 70? Oh, shoot. I can't drive no 70 miles an hour. I'm late. Drive where I want. They got to catch me. Catch me. But they don't mix that with God. It is. It's rules, regulation that's set up to protect us. So these laws are meant to be obeyed. Pay your taxes. Yeah, you got to be obeyed. The season is upon us. Don't cheat on your taxes. But these laws, I had a cousin of mine used to do, you know what I'm going to say. I had a cousin of mine used to do taxes. And you know, working the plant, you know, you pay a lot of taxes. She said, when she was talking to me and my family, because we pretty much want to do what's right. She said, oh, y'all too scared. I can get y'all some money. We want to do things right. Yeah. They want to put dependents down that we didn't have. They want to give me 5 dependents. Now I wouldn't even matter. Oh. You can use these children over here. I said, even get me put in jail doing what's wrong. Christian people. Supposed to be Christian people. And I wasn't saved then. So you know what? I said, God, dog. What kind of God they serve? Here, I don't know Jesus. And they're telling me to do wrong. That's why I do it for the Lord's sake. That dampened a witness in me. I looked at that and I said, oh, people going to hell. It's true. I said that because they were religious, and religious people are going to do what benefits them. Forget about God and the taxes. They couldn't put God and the taxes together. Oh, God. I'm going to move through. I got 42 seconds. But anyway, I'm going to leave you with this statement. Our Lord was never a party to rebellion. That's the truth. Jesus always did what was right. Always. Always upheld the law. I mean, even if he took suffering for it, he upheld the law. Amen?
Amen.
I think I got enough out on that. We're going to move on the next lesson to authority in the home, and we're going to see how this authority, a husband and wives and children, obey their parents, and how this is all going to affect us all. Amen?
Amen.
All right, good night, class. All right. Y'all go in peace.